Welcome to the Are We Enlightened Yet podcast. I'm Robin.
And I'm Sid.
And today we're talking about 2021 and the absolute shit show it was, and how we're hopeful that 2022 will not be the same.
Yeah, the lessons, the challenges, the themes from 2021, and how we're moving forward into 2022, what we're leaving behind, what we're taking with us, and ultimately what our focus for this new year is.
It's gonna be a good conversation, I think. How did you find reflecting on your year in this way?
So I've reflected twice on my year already.
Yeah, same.
And the first time I reflected, it was very focused on like very specific moments, and I kind of came up with a lot of great insights. But when I reflected the second time, it was more so the year in like broader terms, kind of like the macro things that happened, and I found a lot more different insights the second time I reflected, and it was just interesting.
Yeah, I would agree. I found like, I realized that like, oh wow, it's so easy when you get to December to realize or forget how long a year actually is and all that can kind of happen. And I think it's so easy for us to, specifically for myself, is like, you can kind of just, especially with 2021, it was not a great year. And if you had a great year, please tell us. We just kind of put our head down and was like, we have to get through this, and I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to do it the best way I can. And when you finally like turn around to like really look back, you're kind of like, oh wow, I forgot about all of that. And I don't actually know how I got through that.
It's like, so easy to like brush things under the rug and like not actually acknowledge what happened. Like for this year for me went by so fast, like so fast. Like I blinked and it was November, December. And then when I actually took this time to reflect and look back, I was astonished at how much like shit actually happened and like what the changes that happened and all the things. Like it was like, holy, this year actually stuff happened.
Yeah, I changed this year. Like, this was probably the biggest year I've had of change in a really long time. So, which was cool to actually, like, look back and see it, right? Like, looking back at, like, the intentions I had originally set in January, seeing how they came to fruition, but in a completely different way than I thought they were going to, right? You, like, set that intention where you're like, it has to happen like this, and then it doesn't, but it still kind of happens.
Yeah.
You're like, oh. Because I didn't set, like, resolutions. I set, like, hopes. Like, intentions. And, like, an outcome. And then you just, like, you take a totally different path than you think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I've now actually been doing, intention setting the past few years. And it's really interesting looking back at those intentions and how the year unfolded and seeing how they actually did come to fruition in some weird way that you did, like, that you didn't expect in the first place. You have this one vision of how these intentions are going to unfold. But then to go through the year and almost forget about the intentions and then to revisit them and see how in their special way that they did manifest.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And to see like also that like why you wanted them back then and how they now showed up and how now you appreciate them and want them but for a totally different reason. Right? It's like you set the intention and then all of this like healing and growth and life has to happen and you're like not even the same person and you're like, "Oh, it's so cool that I still want that, but it's in a totally different capacity."
Yeah.
Cuz you can't see the future like that far ahead. Like we just tend to get, and we sometimes tend to set these ridiculous resolutions and then, you know, we were talking, we often don't reflect on the year past. Like I know I always set the best intention to reflect on my year and then I get busy and then the new year comes and I'm like, I actually don't want to remember the year. Like I'm good. I'll do like a 2-page journal on it.
Yeah.
But this time we like actually, we set out questions and intentionally reflected.
We went in depth.
Yeah. And I feel like it has me excited for 2022. Well, should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
All right. How was 2021? That's a hard year to say, by the way.
2021. It just rolls off the tongue,
just,
hey?
Right, and it better just roll right into the past. How was 2021 overall for you?
Overall, so after doing some pondering and reflecting, I've realized I've been doing, this year I've been taking a lot of like leaps of faith and just taking messy action, which mm-hmm. is something I've never really done up until this year because I'm such a perfectionist at heart. But this year I was really trying to disentangle from that part of my identity. And so, yeah, and kind of through that this year, I've also just been developing a deeper relationship with my intuition and trusting like these little intuitive hunches that I've been get to do something. And instead of sitting with it and overthinking it or overanalyzing it, I really just allowed myself to take that messy action and just listen and take that trust fall with my intuition. And so I've just been, throughout this year, I've dove deeper and more intentionally into my spiritual practices like meditation, yoga, journaling. At the beginning of the year, I started being more intentional with how I connected to and listened to my intuition, because mm-hmm. before it was just like, it was almost like just fake surface level, like, oh, I'm meditating, and not actually diving into the meditation and asking myself questions and entering into like conscious dialogue with myself. Yeah, and so like actually acknowledging the insights were coming through and the hunches and allowing myself to take that aligned action without second guessing myself. And so some notable leaps of faith this year that I want to share is being introduced to support group, which is a community yeah. of individuals that both of us have met this year. Amazing people. And if there any of them are listening to this, hello, and I love you.
Which they better be. That would be very supportive.
But yeah, like this support group, I was introduced to an entire community of people who I deeply resonate with on so many levels. And I remember the first night I was going to go to support group, I was with my friend. And that night, actually during this whole time, there was like all these scares of like women getting attacked and assaulted in Calgary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, and I'm actually like new to Calgary. So it was like so new to me to be living in like a big city. And so I had like this small town mindset of like, just like, oh my God, if I go out in the wilderness of the city, I'm going to get assaulted. Like that's just my mindset. And I was like, so in that fear-based mentality. But my friend was like, no, like I'm going to this thing, they call it a support group, it's gonna be fun, great community of individuals. And I was like expecting like us sitting around in like drum circle doing kumbaya, like I was like, what is this
happens
support group? Yeah. But I showed up that night despite all this fear, and I just like was like, because my intuition was like, Sid, like this is good, just go for it. And so I just trusted myself, I took that leap of faith and had such a great night and met so many amazing people, and that snowballed into just this community that I've really been becoming a part of. And so that was like a big leap of yeah. faith this year. And kind of with that, with just the new friendships that have been blossoming from that, friendships that actually have depth and feel nurturing. Another notable leap of faith was actually applying to my master's program that I'm in now, because I graduated last year and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I kind of stumbled across this master's program in counseling psychology. And I just like randomly, just from my intuition, listening to a ping, applied. I think it was like a couple weeks before the deadline. And so I just applied and just was like, you know what, if I'm accepted, it's meant to be, if not, whatever. And then I got accepted like a couple days later. Oh, and I was like, nice. Oh damn, like yeah. I'm doing this, I guess I'm doing this. And yeah, so that was kind of like my overall 2021 yeah. was just literally taking those leaps of faith and trusting myself.
That's a good year. Like that's, there's always this quote, and I sometimes I understand it and sometimes I don't, where it's like there's years that create questions and there's years that answer. And I feel like this is a year for you that answered, mm-hmm. right? Like you're ending it with more answers and just like yeses
yeah.
than you are of like, what the fuck was that? What yeah. just happened? Yeah. Right? Which is exciting. I think it's really, cause that doesn't happen all the time, right? Like sometimes you have years where you're just like, I feel bettered.
Yeah, you're left there like, just like, oh my God, what just happened? And
yeah, yeah, you're this a little year, bit,
things kind of came together yeah, a little bit. And that was
exciting.
All due to my intuition yeah. and just, yeah.
Listening.
Yeah.
Which can be so challenging, right? Because it's hard to, it is hard to take those leaps of faith, especially when people, you have people around you being like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going against the grain in so many ways, right? Like you're removing yourself from that groupthink mentality, and that, that can create a lot of like uphill battles, right? So it's exciting that it stayed, obviously, of course it had challenges, but like it stayed exciting, and it's ending on like, hey, all these times I took these leaps, something cool happened. It blossomed.
Yeah. It's like building that trust muscle, having all of this evidence showing, okay, look at these times where you took that leap of faith, where you fully just fell and trusted the universe and yourself, and look what happened. Look what came of it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this was a big year for that. And
yeah.
Yeah. Proud of myself.
I'm proud of you. That's exciting. It's always, I like when those years, they're just years that build confidence, right? And they build like, it gives you a stepping stone for next year.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I want to keep this going.
Totally.
You know, I want to see what happens. Instead of like going in January and sometimes being like, I got to lick my wounds right now. Yeah. Like,
here's
I
another need to... year of pain or
yeah,
whatever.
You're like, I'm coming out of this, but like, I need to retreat for a minute.
Yeah, rest and heal. And,
yeah, there's years that end like that. I feel like 2020 was that for a lot of people, right? Like it ended and we're just like, we have to do another year.
Yeah.
Like, this life keeps going.
Like, seriously.
And then we were all so hopeful for 2021 and look at it.
I want to hear about your 2021 now.
My 2021 was both devastating and awe-inspiring at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This was a really, once I actually reflected, this was a really fucking hard year. And I was definitely one of those years where I didn't realize that I was like, I'm just going to put my head down and get through this. It was, and looking back now, I was like, it was such a dark night of the soul year for me. January started, thanks COVID, I was unemployed for the second time. I was heartbroken. I was just recently coming out of a relationship that I was blindsided by. So like, I was truly heartbroken and I was living alone. So I spent the first 6 months of 2021 alone in my house, isolated for, I would say, like 95% of the time. Gyms were closed, which is like my sanctuary. It was also my job. So yeah, the first 6 months of are literally, I think I kind of blacked them out a little bit. Like they were hurt. Like they were hard months. They were like, I had moments of like, I cannot keep doing this. Like, when does this end? There was like that, you were like that feeling of like starting to lose hope.
Yeah.
Just because nothing was changing, right? Things were still shut down. It wasn't even that things shut down. It was like restaurants, everything was still open, but gyms couldn't be open. Fitness facilities couldn't be open. So like we couldn't go back to work. And so that was, you know, you don't have any money. It's fucking winter in Canada. Again, like I said, I'm dealing with like heartbreak and that was hard. And then I turned 30 this year and that was always an age I was really afraid of to begin with, because we all know like 30 suddenly means you're old. But then I was always, I'm really sorry to anyone in my life that's listening to this and doesn't know this. But like I always had a pact with myself that if I made it to 30 and I was still in as much pain as I was for most of my 20s, that like I didn't have to stay. I just had to make it to 30 and then I was allowed to like be done.
Opt out of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was getting really nervous to turn 30 because things weren't looking good. And I was terrified to spend my 30th birthday alone. But then at the same time, this like cool shift happened where I was just kind of also okay with, I had healed so much of like the pain that was the reason I wanted out, that also at the same time I was like, no, like I'm gonna be okay. And then turning 30, and like I want to give credit to my best friend Haley, who like made sure I wasn't alone on my 30th birthday. Like, thank you. I don't want her thinking like I did something for you and you're sitting bullshit. No, thank you. But like turning 30 kind of was like a death in and of itself. It was like, I don't really know how to explain it. And then so, but then July June, July, and August actually just got worse. They were, like, probably the three hardest months I've, like, really had. I'm not ready to really talk about it. But it was a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of, like, working through some trauma that I wasn't prepared for. And I was, like, that's the most alone I've ever felt. It was a really... And, like, that's when... like everything kind of really started stripping away. I was noticing that I was like, my soul feels sad and I don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, like I was not making an effort with anybody, and not because I was depressed, but I was just like, it's just, it doesn't speak to me. And I want soul filling things right now because I just, something's got to give, like something has to change. I don't know how to explain it, but I think that's why Dark Night of the Souls are so challenging, right? Because it just, it's like this crazy shift that you cannot put into words. It just kind of all starts happening. And, but then I just like, again, like support and all the people from like Lighthouse, it just kind of like, I met them so randomly, and every time I would interact with them, something cool would happen. Like I met Mark Groves randomly in like a park in Calgary, which
I'm so jealous of.
I know, it was amazing. I freaking love Mark Groves, so like that was cooler. I found like $100 gift card to Blush Lane. Like it was like all these like signs from the universe saying like, keep going, this is it, like keep going, keep going. So like the back half of 2021 has been really healing, and I feel like at warp speed. It's like the integration of all the work I've done over the last like few years, like really over my 20s. Like I talk pretty openly about it. Like I've had debilitating social anxiety where like even if my friends were in a restaurant, I couldn't, if someone wasn't walking in with me, I can't go in. Like I can't go. But like there was times where I didn't know anybody and I wanted to go hang out with all these new people, and I would just have to go. Like I was like, if you want these relationships, like you have to do it, right? So like that was really cool to be able to experience that and see that growth and witness it. And like, and then like I, you know, like left a really horrible job that was absolutely depleting all life force in me, and now again, like even my job feels like totally synchronistic. Thank you. Yeah. Right, like it's so cool. I'm getting to like learn new things. It's just like, it's a super supportive environment. It's just amazing like how fast the whole switch came once I was like, all right, I'm willing to burn my fucking house down. Like I'm willing to watch it all fucking burn and start over if that's what it means. And it's less dramatic than that, but like that I feel like is what happened in 2021 for me, is I had to burn a lot of shit away and do some like really, really deep healing. And it's really, and I know we've talked about it, it's really interesting for me to be on this other side of realizing that like I actually never looked at my life past 30, right? Like it was always just like, well, and like that sounds really fucked up because it wasn't a conscious thing.
30 which was the cutoff date.
30 was just it. And it was just like, and that sounds so much darker than it actually feels to me. So it's like I'm at this weird thing now where I'm like, it feels like a rebirth that I'm still trying to sort out. So that was 2021 was like a big introspective burning the house down year.
It sounds like, yeah, the first half was like a tower moment, clearing space of all the bullshit things that were taking up unnecessary real estate in your life, as lonely and shitty that is. That, look what, how much it brought you. Like, the once you create that space, so many pieces can start to fall together just effortlessly almost, and things start to pick up, and it's, the wheels start to turn,
Yeah, and
so,
like
so powerful.
And when you put the work in and you get to reap the rewards of it,
yes,
that's what feels so cool, right? Because so many times when you're like deep in the work, it feels like it's not working because you're constantly in the work. And then when the moments happen where you're just kind of like, oh, I really put the work in, and I, and like that's healed, is a super cool experience.
Yeah, once you get through that first round of doing the work and then actually getting to see what that work harvested, like that's what motivates you to keep going, because it's like, oh, this works. Like, doing the work has value, and it has like real life positive consequences.
Yeah. And like, I want to make sure, like, it wasn't the work I did in 2021. It's the work I've done for the last 12 years of my life, mm-hmm. right? Like, healing a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And it was, like you said, it's the tower moment of 2021 where it, like, really had to burn to the ground. And so that I could actually, like, rise like a phoenix.
Yeah, because there's a whole journey to the lead up to the tower.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what I want to be clear. I was like, yeah. I don't want to be like, oh, I had 6 hard months. Like, that wasn't it. It was like, it was 8 really fucking hard months. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the people in my life in those 8 hard months. I don't want anyone to feel like I'm, like, discrediting everybody. Like, I have amazing friends. But they were 8 hard months that I had to do alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I was so isolated in them. Because if I wasn't isolated, the tower wouldn't have crumbled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's like the universe knows how to take you to your breaking point.
Yeah.
So that you can really, truly yes. rise from the fucking ashes.
Yeah. It's like, I will bring you to your fucking knees. Yeah. And I will do it again and again and again.
Don't you love when it does that?
Oh, so much. So much. Yeah. So with all of that, then what do you think your biggest lesson was of 2021? Mm.
So my biggest lesson in 2021 in one single sentence is, let the old fall away. Mm. Like, that's mm-hmm. like the mantra of my biggest lesson in 2021. And so that really entailed me learning not to force old relationships, old friendships, learning when it's time to walk away. And understanding that as I grow, I am upgrading the space around me to fit this new version of myself. And so through all of those leaps of faith, I had to let things go behind me, because certain things in my life were dragging me down. Certain things in my life were not meant to go forward with me. And that was the biggest lesson, probably the hardest one, because I get attached really easily to things, to people, to situations, to comfort. I get attached. And so I just had to learn to not become attached to things that were only meant to be in my life temporarily, and to understand that some things are temporary and some things are meant to go the long haul with yeah. you. So kind of knowing that difference and learning when to let go and trust that things that are meant to last, that they'll elevate with me and not feel so draining or depleting. Mm-hmm. They'll be there with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of just like this lesson of understanding that I'm a crab outgrowing my shell.
Yeah.
And like, once it's too small, once the shell is too small, you can't just try and like squeeze yourself to fit smaller into this shell. Like, you have to leave the shell. You have to risk that brief moment of vulnerability of between shells, and actually like take those steps towards that bigger shell that's more spacious and more nurturing and more for you.
Don't you find too, I find that like when it's really time to let things go, and maybe your experience was different, but I feel like when it's really time to let things go, it's not such a fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, obviously it's hard, like letting things go, but I find when there's still a fight in it, there's a lot of resistance. It's not quite time yet. There's still more to be learned in that situation. Mm. But I find that when, like, it's really time for things to go, they can just really quite naturally fall away. And it feels less jarring.
They'll just happen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. I think that was one of my hardest lessons was, I was in this kind of, I don't know, letting go. The concept of letting go shows up most frequently in my relationships. And so during the summer, I kind of had like a few like flings, because I was trying to test the waters of my manifestation abilities in the realm of relationships. And so I kind of called in a few guys, not at the same time, but in that kind of podcast. but I was like kind of seeing this one guy, and I knew right off the bat that we were so misaligned, and I was like, this is not a long-term thing, but I'm gonna explore it, because like, what the hell, why not? And so we were kind of, I think we went on like a few dates, not even dates, we hung out a few times, and I just knew in my head, like, there was just so many red flags, like blatant red flags, and I was like, okay, this is gonna be easy to let go. And so eventually I basically, I think we hung out on like our fourth hangout. I was like, nope, this is, I can't do another hangout with this guy. Cause it was just so,
yeah,
like the universe is like, no, mm-hmm. you gotta let this one go, sis. So I let that one go with ease. And I was like, okay, yeah, bye. But then the next freaking guy, a couple like weeks later, comes in, and this was harder to navigate because more feelings were attached. He felt more in alignment with my values, what I wanted, and there was just more chemistry there. And so even like despite all of that, I still had this feeling of, this isn't a long-term thing. I need to eventually let this go. But I prolonged that process so much because there was that attachment mm-hmm. there, and like I didn't know when to let go. I knew I had to, but it was just a matter of when. And so I kept like, there were some instances where the universe was clearly telling me like, this is time to let go. This is your time. Like, this is your opportunity yeah. to walk away. But I was still forcing it. And like, despite having that awareness, I was like, no, like, I'm just gonna keep going. Cause why not?
Yeah.
Let's just keep going.
It's not over yet. It's not over until they end it, to be honest.
Literally. Like... And so eventually it got to a point where he had to end it. AKA yeah. the universe ended it yeah. for me because yeah. I was just so reluctant.
And the universe took the trash out.
The universe took the trash out. Not saying he's trash because he's a great human being, yeah. but you know the saying. But yeah, no, like that was honestly my biggest lesson in 2021 is letting the old fall away. I've had some instances where that was easy and then some instances where that was fucking hard.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Letting things go is...
Letting go.
It's tough.
It's like surrender. It's like you hate it, but it's so good for you when you actually yes, know how to implement it.
It's rewarding it. When it finally happens and it's over with.
Yeah.
But in it.
In it, it's like you're gritty. Clenching it's and you're like
it's fucking tough.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
What was your biggest lesson of 2021?
There's kind of like two, which I think definitely come together, is that like if it costs you peace, it's too expensive. Which was a quote I loved for a really long time, but never really understood until this year, where I understood what my peace actually was, because I don't, as somebody who sits in the very highs and lows of emotions, and my body naturally sits comfortably in chaos, it doesn't actually know how to, I didn't actually know what peace felt like. Mm. And so learning what peace felt like and knowing now what I am not willing to do in order to give up that feeling, but peace still feels really unsafe for me. So it's a lot of work for me to sit in the peace and not create problems in my life because like that's what I'm used to. And then as well into that is like choosing myself. Like this year was a learning how to not self-abandon and to like speak my mind and ask for clear communication and like tell people how they will treat me, and if they don't treat me, you're not in my life. Like if you don't treat me like that, then you don't get to be in my life. Mm-hmm. Like that was this year for me. And it's funny because I think people will say I'm quite blunt. Like, I'm not when it comes to my own life. Like, I'm very protective, so I'll be very blunt if you're hurting my friend. Or if you're asking me for advice, I will tell you like it is. But when it comes to me and, like, my needs, no. I was a... Self-abandoning was all I knew how to do. So this year was, like, a really big lesson in not self-abandoning, which I think is what started creating the peace in me, right? Mm. When you're constantly choosing yourself... You're at peace because you're not at war with your mind anymore, because you're making the decision that is actually best for you, not what's best for other people and how you think they're gonna feel, mm-hmm. right? Like not being responsible for other people's emotions, still really, really hard. I can get quite triggered by the idea of hurting somebody. That can be really upsetting for me, but like sitting in it instead of like trying to take blame that's not mine to take. Right? So like, yeah, I think setting, truly choosing myself in so many situations, setting boundaries, even if that person is going to think I'm fucking crazy, and being like, you can think that, but like, this costs me too much. I'm not going to do it.
Mm. Like choosing yourself regardless if it rocks the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, lessons we haven't necessary, like, lifelong lessons.
Oh, yeah. Completely. It's always going to be a lifelong process.
Yeah, but I think that was really big this year. Like, and which is funny because, like, that's actually the intention I set in January was, like, I want to, like, learn to love myself and accept myself and choose myself and be selfish, mm-hmm. right? In a good way, but, like, selfish in the sense that, like, I'm going to choose me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what the universe delivered this year, is multiple ways for me to continuously choose me and for me to be able to recognize that, like, I'm participating in a really unhealthy habit right now and I'm going to choose to stop.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to remove myself from this situation, which I find really interesting because nobody ever, when you do that, the other person doesn't take any responsibility and you're just like, okay, that's fine, but I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Very interesting.
So that was definitely my biggest lesson, is that, like, choosing the self.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was good.
I like that.
It was needed.
And this...
Whoa.
And especially, like, after the year that you've gone through, you... That lesson of, like, choosing yourself, that's so empowering after, especially those first 6 months of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. No, it was good. It's been an empowering, like... It's been, as hard as of a year it was, it's been a very empowering year for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. What about, if it's different, what do you think your biggest challenge was? Because mine were my challenges and my lessons were a little different.
My challenge was actually almost the same as my lesson, was knowing when to let go. And it comes back to that whole thing of understanding my attachment style and understanding how that influences my relationships and my ability to choose myself ultimately. And yeah, I just, a lot this year I've noticed my tendencies to clutch onto things that I know that aren't serving me, but just holding on to them or continuing to be in that energetic or physical space despite, like, the incongruence in my head, like, you know, there was, like, that mental, there's a phrase, it's blanking, but, it's essentially, like, I knew what my actions were, causing me to feel, like, I knew the, like,
Is it words cognitive dissonance?
Yes, thank you. Cognitive dissonance.
Thank you. Yes. I clearly can't say words with S's, but I'm glad you can.
So yeah, it's like knowing the things that you're doing aren't serving you, but you continue to do them anyways. And there's this dissonance of, like, your mental. It's like, okay, Sid, why are you doing this? But my body is, like, continuing to do it out of either habit or of wanting to stay comfortable completely. And so it was just getting into that habit of noticing when I'm doing that and actually taking action to shift out of that that tendency to do things just because they make me feel good or fulfilled in the short term, knowing that they're toxic or harmful in the long term.
And then I'm gonna guess kindness when you did it, and then, because, you know, when you're like, you're doing it, you know you're doing it, but the train is in motion and you literally, you can't seem to stop it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like mentally, you know, you're like, this is not, what am I doing? You can't stop. So the kindness when it kind of all crumbles, knowing that, like, hey, I'm human.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm never one to be, like, super kind with myself. I'm always, like, very self-critical and, like, judgmental and perfectionistic and all those lovely things.
Yes.
And so I'll notice myself doing that. I'm like, you fucking bitch. Like, you're doing this again. And then it's like, oh, and then my other self that's, like, doing it, it's like, oh, well, don't get mad at me. It makes me feel good. And it's totally, like, this battle, mental battle. But, just allowing myself to... just be more gentle with myself when I do catch myself in those moments. And because I caught myself in those moments a lot, and a lot of them actually were like food and body related, because my relationship with my body, although a lot better now than it was a few years ago, I still get caught in those moments of eating terrible and knowing that it's bad for me, but, like, judging myself for it and, like, saying, and, like, I don't know, I'll get in these waves of eating whatever I want because I had such an unhealthy relationship with food, and I used to be so strict and restrictive with mm-hmm. it. And so I'll go through like moments of eating whatever I want, because I've experienced the latter and how restrictive it can be to be hyper vigilant in what I eat.
Yeah.
But then I'll get caught in that, and then I'll be eating so unhealthily, and I'll be like feeling sick and sluggish right. and down and just gross. And so it was like finding that balance of like eating well, but like balanced, and allowing myself to eat the foods that made me feel good on a physical level, but also on a mental level, like having those comfort foods in moderation, of course,
yeah.
and not getting caught in one extreme or the other and judging right. myself for it.
I think those extremes are still just like so common, because like it's such a subconscious thing that food is comforting to us. We use it to celebrate, we use it to grieve. Like, food is so emotionally charged that it's just, that is an easy one to, even when you're trying to not be in extremes, to stay in extremes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That is the more, because like our relationship with food is like my bread and butter.
Mm.
But like, and it's so nuanced.
Yeah.
And so challenging.
Yeah. Because I know and have experienced how unhealthy and toxic it is to be so restrictive and hypervigilant yeah. with what you eat. But then I've also experienced the latter of how shitty it feels to just eat shit food all the right. time and not care what you're yeah. putting into your body. And so this year it was just really letting go of that mentality of judgment and hypervigilance and carelessness, and just
yeah
knowing when to let go of those certain mindsets, and knowing when to let go of if I was starting to lean into one direction, like, okay, this is like my cue to start right. implementing more structure or implementing a little bit more flexibility in my routine.
Yeah.
It was kind of just this constant process of assessing and observing where I'm at and kind of making adjustments as I go.
I think it's a good challenge to have.
Yeah.
It's a good one to like work through.
Yeah.
Just because, like, in the world we live in, it's so in our face,
mm-hmm.
right? So to be able to recognize it, I think, is really huge, because there are so many women and men who can't, right? They stay in that, like, either kind of fuck it, binge mentality, I don't care what I put in my body, like, yada, 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 or that super restrictive side where they're just like obsessed about it constantly, and it's exhausting. Like, mm-hmm. if you're thinking about food all day long, you have a horrible relationship with food. Like, it shouldn't mm-hmm. take up that much space, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good challenge to have now and be aware of, because mm-hmm. it's very healing to your body when
yeah.
you have it, right? Like, once you can start loosening the reins of your, or the grip you have on your relationship with food, it becomes so easy to become more loving and compassionate and accepting of your body.
Yes.
Because you can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But it's a long journey.
It's a very long journey. But yeah.
And
yeah.
one you'll backtrack on. I backtrack on mine
yeah.
all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, I've backtracked
yeah.
so many times. And
yeah.
I've found great momentum forward too.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably why it's my biggest challenge. Because
mm-hmm.
food has been a lifelong challenge for me.
Yeah.
But this year, I actually have really developed that awareness of like, oh, these are the two extremes, and I'm
mm-hmm.
undulating back and forth between
yeah.
and kind of noticing, okay, where's my balance? Where's my kind of sweet spot where it feels good on both
yeah.
ends of the spectrum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then staying there as long as you can, knowing
yeah.
that you're going to swing one way or the other
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Right? And again, like you said, working on that kindness when it happens, because it will.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
All right. What was
yeah.
your
What's
biggest
mine?
Challenge? Let's hear it.
One of them for sure was boundaries. Because I think that goes hand in hand with like learning to choose myself. But I had in my head for the longest time that I was just like a failure at setting boundaries, because they weren't getting any easier. It was like, in my head, I was like, boundaries are just something you learn how to do, and then you check it off your to-do list, and then you can set them for the rest of your life. And I remember talking to my friend Jamie, who is pretty, like, she's basically a mentor to me. I don't know if she thinks she's a mentor to me, but she is. She's such a fucking badass. And she was on the phone with me because I was having a hard time with my breakup. And And she, I don't remember. It was just the way in which she said that, like, you're too hard on yourself. Like, you're setting boundaries. She's like, they're not supposed to be easy. Boundaries aren't easy. They don't ever get easier. And I was like, oh, they don't?
No one told me that.
I was like, this is how they're just always going to feel? She's like, yeah. And that was such an eye-opening moment for me because I thought it was just that I was so weak and, like, I was just such a people pleaser that I couldn't set boundaries. That, like, if I read about it and I worked on it, it got easy. And like I said, you check it off a to-do list. But then it's kind of like with a lot of things within healing where it's just like it you don't just like check it off a list. It's not just done. It's a lifelong thing, right? So boundaries for me and accepting that they are just going to be hard and then being able to set them in that hardness, right? Like that really like fucking awful feeling you get, like you're gonna die.
Being like, okay, like I know this is gonna be hard.
Yes.
It's normal that it's hard.
Yeah, it's normal that it's hard.
I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, and know that like it's going to dysregulate my nervous system, but I have the tools to re-regulate. Yeah. Right? Even if it takes a couple days, like I know, like boundaries for me, like I know for people can be really challenging, but like they really dysregulate my nervous system. But teaching myself that like I am capable of re-regulating. Like, I have the tools. I can do it. So that was a lot. And then releasing the guilt of choosing myself has been challenging, right? And knowing that, you know, I, for a really long time, was the friend that checked in on everyone. And I just didn't have the energy for it this year. And releasing that guilt, you know, like, trusting that my friends hopefully know that I'm a good friend. And if they need me, I'm there. But yeah, releasing that guilt of like not being that person who needed to be always checking in on and making sure everyone else was okay.
Like taking that pressure off of yourself to always be that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so releasing that guilt was like, was a pretty, is still challenging to me. And then I think the other one is like, getting out in social settings was like, even when it came to dating, I had to work through social anxiety, right? So like, and like that was a fucking challenge. And to go into these group settings of not knowing people and like trying to pretend that you're totally fine to be there, but you really secretly want to die because you're
internally screaming.
Yeah, you're just like, and then when you're leaving and having to be like, nobody hates you, nobody hates you, nobody hates you. So, like, those were just, you know, like, little challenges in a year that felt very challenging. And then, I guess, like, again, this is the first year I've probably been as open about my healing, as directly open about my healing, which I think looks easy on the outside, but is quite challenging on the inside. So, yeah, those are kind of my challenges. It's been a really, like, melting pot of challenges. Like, I feel like there was no theme to challenges this year. It was just like, let me throw whatever I can at you.
That's kind of what I found too when I was reflecting on this question. Yeah. The challenges that were kind of coming up were, yeah, knowing when to let go, but then the food stuff. And then even as you were talking, I was like, man, like I resonate with like so many of her challenges too, because like I also had challenges with like my friendships and like actually putting myself out of my comfort zone and socializing more because of like support group. Although it was great at the beginning stages of it, I was very scared because like, oh, this is like such a new space for me. I'm not used to being in these types of relationships and this like open, transparent setting.
Yeah,
because everyone there is so open, like for the most part, very open, very loving people. And so it's like, if you're not used to that in your relationships,
it's hard to receive.
It's like, oh my God, what do I do with this? Like, what do I say?
Absolutely.
What, like, do I disclose everything? Like, you know,
it's, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well then what did, with knowing all of that, what did 2021 teach you about yourself?
I realized how much I crave true intimacy in my relationships, but how often I resist that intimacy in the moment.
Ooh, yes.
Like, definitely some intimacy issues on my end. I've noticed that this year. But yeah, I've noticed how much I contract and pull away, like, energetically and sometimes physically from those opportunities when, like, there's that moment of intimacy and, like, when you're truly and deeply connecting with someone. Like, I love those moments in theory, but when you're actually in there and it's a completely different experience.
Like, and that vulnerability hangover that comes afterwards.
Yes. Yes. And, like, it's getting better now because I'm kind of learning to lean into that resistance.
Yeah.
But, man, sometimes, like, it's just really interesting to, like, just observe myself, like, become so repelled from those moments of intimacy after a week of, like, praying to the gods to bring me, like, intimacy in my relationships.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
it's
like, what the hell, Sid? Like, you've been praying and manifesting this, but and here it is, and you're pulling away
you're
from
like,
it.
Not like that.
No, it's like, no, like, it's supposed to be easier, and I can't be vulnerable. They can be vulnerable, yes. But I can't. And so it's just, yeah, this year it's definitely taught me how I approach intimacy and how I view intimacy and ultimately how I can learn to be more intimate and like lean into those moments a little bit more without feeling so like contracted and resistant to it. And yeah, it's been very just funny to watch myself in those moments of like,
and that would be a trap. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's totally like a shadow thing. Like, it's completely like just those intimacy issues. And I know they're fucking deep in the subconscious there, those roots.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm learning to laugh at my shadow when it pops out like that. And it's like, oh, Sid, like, I know I'm going to get through this. And I know I'm going to have those intimate moments and they're not all going to be so scary. But,
well, and I think it's important to remember that all new things are scary.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all new things are scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reminding ourselves that, like, hey, I'm safe and I have my back here.
Yeah.
Right?
Those constant reminders to yourself, like, this is okay.
I think
it's a little destabilizing, but you're going
to
be fine.
Yes. It's like what I said with boundaries. It's like, we think if we do the work, it's just supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
It's actually not. Like, it's that you trust yourself enough to get you through it.
I had it in my mind, like, okay, I can be vulnerable once. And then I'll be master at vulnerability. And
yes, I think that's such a problem with the spiritual and the wellness and the self-development that you're like, well, if I just do all the work, it will get easy. And it's like, I actually don't think it ever gets easy. You just learn to trust yourself more and more and more to get yourself through it every time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that, like, maybe the intensity of it not being easy won't last as long. But that, like, nervousness and fear and all of that is human and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but
the system will still get activated, but not to the extent.
But we convince ourselves it's not going to, and that if it's not easy, then we're broken.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, it's actually just that. Like, that's a very human thing to happen when you're doing that,
and it's okay
because intimacy is intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's, you're bearing your soul. It's this, like,
it's supposed to be uncomfortable.
It's supposed to be the most uncomfortable thing because it's also not for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, you're not supposed to have intimacy with every person you meet. You're not supposed to be vulnerable with every human you meet.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
That's a really good point.
Right? So I think it's, we get hard on ourselves and we're like, why isn't this easy? Because it's not supposed, that specifically, I don't think is ever supposed to be easy because, like, you're risking something.
Yeah.
You're risking getting hurt.
And even if you're on this wellness journey, I think a lot of us tend to put that pressure on ourselves to be intimate, to be in those vulnerable moments. Because it's like, oh, this is part of my healing journey. I have to be more vulnerable. But like you said, certain relationships aren't meant to hold that space for you. And so it's like, you have to honor when it feels right, truly, and when it feels like truly like traumatic on the nervous system level.
Because we get the most hurt when we force that vulnerability with people who haven't earned it.
Yeah.
Right? When you're just creating that connection and you're like, oh, I'm just going to share. And that's how we're going to build intimacy and connection and vulnerability. And then you end up getting burned. And then that's what teaches you that it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we tend to, especially in the beginning stages of learning that type of thing, try it on with everyone. And then you're like, this is really uncomfortable. And it's like, yeah, because that's actually called oversharing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's an interesting one, but I think it never gets easier because it's a vulnerable thing.
It's a vulnerable thing. You have to learn to be discerning on who you share your vulnerability with and who's able to hold that space for you truly and healthfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what did 2021 teach you about yourself?
That I don't owe people shit.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, really, that's what it taught me. As an absolute people pleaser. Yeah, that I don't owe people shit and that I am worthy of being respected and I'm worthy of being loved and I am worthy of everything I want. That's still a bit of a questionable one, but like we're working on it. But it's knowing that, like, I think also teaching myself that a lot of those like unworthy feelings, seeing the stories in them, right? That they're not true, that there's a story behind it. And then also for me, it was a lot about, speaking of stories, that I can't actually control people's perception of me. I don't get a say in how they receive me. As long as I act from my heart, that's actually the only thing I can control.
And it's the only thing that matters.
And it's the only thing that matters. But not being able to control other people's stories of me or other people's perceptions or opinions or whatever is like really hard for me. But learning that as long as I'm acting from integrity and what's important for me, that's it. That's all I can do, right? I don't get a say. So yeah, I think learning about myself that like that I don't owe anyone anything. And if they don't like it or they don't like me or they don't like the role they played in my life, that's not my problem. If you wanted me to speak of you differently, you should have behaved differently. Mm. Right? And I own that on my place in other people's lives too, right? Like I know I'm not perfect and I've hurt people. And as a people pleaser, that's a hard thing to admit that, you know, you're capable of hurting people too. But yeah, I think as long as I'm acting from true alignment with myself and what matters to me, that I don't owe an explanation. Mm-hmm. And I don't get a say in what the other person has to say, which I learned the hard way in this tail end of 2021. But throughout the year, it's really been that I get to choose myself, that I'm worthy of all of it, which has been a battle of mine for a really quite long time. So I think like this year has been, man, when I like reflecting on it, like this year has actually been such a healing and big year for me. And like, I've really, for the most part, put to bed a lot of like really deep wounds in me, which has been cool to reflect on.
Yeah.
But wow. Just mostly that I don't owe shit anyone shit.
Yeah. Choose yourself and yeah, know that you're here to live your life, not anybody else's. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not out there hurting people like I tend to convince myself I'm doing, right? Nobody's thinking, like, something my therapist always said, like, do you really think they're even thinking about this situation right now the way you are? Because I'm a very hyper-vigilant person, and so I overanalyze literally everything, and I take into consideration every single person's emotion and everything.
Body language.
Before I make a decision, I'm like, well, if I do this and they think this because this happened to them and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, do you think 90% of the population does that? Or 90% of the people in your life think twice about any decisions they make? And I'm like, clearly fucking not, because I'm sitting here crying in therapy because somebody did something that hurt me, Lauren. And she's like,
but I do it, Lauren.
But I was like, but I do it. And she's like, yeah, I know. That's why it hurts so bad, is because you can't imagine doing it. Mm. Right? So having to learn that, I don't have to play out everybody's life story to make my decision. I just have to do what feels in alignment to me.
Focus on your story, your own journey.
And what matters to me. And then that is also, again, what brings the peace for me. Mm. Is when I keep choosing myself, things just feel more peaceful. And I've craved peace for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like focusing on your own lane, being in your own lane. Mm-hmm. And like, if you like, think of it as like driving down a highway, you're not so focused on every other car. You're not trying to drive all five lanes at once. You're in your own car. You're in your own lane. You're going forward in your own little pathway. You're not swerving. You're not watching other drivers, wondering what they're going to do as you're trying to drive. Like you're in your own lane, your own journey.
Yeah. And just being okay with the role I play in other people's lives. Like, that might mean I hurt them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I was being hurtful.
Yeah.
Right? I'm reading Brené Brown's new book, Atlas of the Heart. And it's something she said, which was really resonated with me, is that just because somebody experiences shame when you bring something up or communicate or something happens does not mean that you were shaming them. Mm. And that was a really good reminder for me, because like, I don't ever want people to feel shame, because I know how caging that emotion can be and really like debilitating. But by communicating my needs and asking for respect and using my voice, if somebody experiences shame because of that, it doesn't mean I shamed them.
Mm.
So that's a bit, that's learning that about myself, that like, that I can, I'm capable of choosing myself and sitting with other people's discomfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. What are you going to leave behind in 2021?
Ooh. My tendencies to self-abandon.
Ah.
So like,
let me be your teacher.
Yeah. Right. So like saying yes when I really want to say no, I want to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Downplaying my emotions for the sake of other people's comfort, getting rid of that. And not speaking up when I notice when something needs to be said, you know, just that fear of like, oh my God, I can't say anything. So like, I think all of these kind of tie into like my fear of like rejection.
Yeah.
And like just allowing myself to be that expressive human, to be in my messiness of being whole, and without feeling shame about it, you know, and like letting go of the need to just, yeah, abandon myself for the sake of other people liking me, because that's so,
yeah,
that's so unhealthy. And that's been a very potent theme throughout my life, because I've always been one to put others before me, just that people pleasing fawning tendency. And I'm sick of it. Like, I'll watch myself in those moments and I'm like, Sid, you're doing it again. And it's so frustrating. But, and I know it's probably going to be a lifelong process of getting rid of, fear in any form, but yeah, I don't know. Like, the programming is deep, but the fact that it's a program, it can be reprogrammed and you can chip away at it in little daily steps, whatever.
But, and like, I think what's important, and like one of the things I've really learned this year about the nervous system, is in so many of those situations, all our body is doing is seeking safety.
Mm-hmm.
It feels unsafe and it's going to seek safety in the way, the only way it knows how, right? So it's that constant reprogramming and being able to say to yourself like, oh, I'm clearly feeling unsafe right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm safe. What can I do to remind myself that I'm actually safe in this seat, and I'm in this situation, and I'm in the driver's seat, and right? I think it's that at the end of the day, all our ego wants is safety. It's just trying to protect us from death.
Yeah.
And even though we think that, like, you're like, that's ridiculous that you think I'm gonna die, like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just seeking safety.
Yeah. Well, even like in today's world, our amygdalas are so overactivated just because how we perceive things. Like, we perceive our threats today aren't, they're not saber-toothed tigers, they're not you know, they're not those like life or death things, but they're social humiliation, rejection, they're all these more like nuanced cancel culture things. And so we're going through life perceiving these as threats, and we're in this constant state of fight or flight, and we're so activated. And a lot of my work actually this year has been focused on calming my nervous system, and like even in social settings, like reminding myself to fucking breathe, and like to actually like like loosen my muscles and like release like any tension. I tend to hold a lot of tension in my hips in social settings just because like I clench in my that's like where I store emotions. I think that's where we all store emotions, in our hips. And so it's like, especially in those like vulnerable moments of in social settings, I clench up and I'm activated. And so it's part of the work has just been literally so body focused and calming down my body and just like reminding myself, this is safe, you're fine. And reminding myself, like, just focus on you. You don't need to worry about how they're perceiving you. You don't need to worry about what what they're doing right now. Like, just focus on you. And that's been a theme, a very common theme. And so that's, what was the question? Oh, yeah.
Leaving behind.
Yeah, my tendency to self-abandon. And essentially just putting others before me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I'm leaving behind. Because that's what creates the most activation in my nervous system.
Yeah. I think it's a great thing to leave behind.
Yep.
I'm going to leave behind, I think, like, because I've done so much work on worth, I'm leaving behind low self-worth. We're making decisions that are, like, most in alignment with ourselves. And also just, like, I have had for a really long time this, like, deep belief that I am unworthy of being loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we're leaving that behind in 2021. I'm over it. Like, it's not coming to 2022. And I think just, like, for me, it's just this story that, you know, I'm broken. Like, I'm over it. I don't want it anymore. I've done the work. And I know work is lifelong. Like, it's not that I'm like, I'm never going to do anything again. No, that's not it. But, like, I'm done searching for ways to stop living my life because I think there's still so much to be healed. Right? Like, it's like I've been so fixated on healing things that, like, I just haven't lived my life. So, like, we're just leaving that all behind. Mm-hmm. And I'm done, like, we're leaving behind, like, kind of like you said, like, that self-abandoning, but making decisions because I'm worried what somebody else is going to think, or that I'm going to let somebody down, or I'm not living up to their expectation of what my life should be. I'm unsubscribing to that belief system. And that, like, if somebody has a belief of what my life should be, I don't control that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't live my life that way anymore.
Yeah.
Trying to not let people down. So that is
staying
in 2021.
See ya.
What are you going to bring into 2022?
Honestly, the ability to recognize when things are no longer for me.
Ooh, yeah.
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 So, like, this past year, I got really good at spotting the misalignments, and I definitely want to take that with me into the new year, because I bet you there will be snakes in the grass and wolves in sheep's clothing, and so I want to bring that skill of mine and just continue refining it and noticing, okay, that's not meant to be in my life. I'm going to say bye to it, or, you know, like, last year, I got really good at, like, spotting what was not meant for me. I probably could get better at actually letting that go, but I want to take that skill of spotting the good, the bad, and the ugly, and discerning what is meant to be carried forward with me and what is meant to be let go of. Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm bringing peace with me into 2022. I think that is just going to be a really important theme for me, because it is so new to me. Even, like, sleeping through, not that I'm sleeping through the night, but I have had chronic nightmares for, oh my god, as long as I could remember. It was really just this year I learned that wasn't actually normal. Like, waking up from nightmares every night, like, and night terrors was not, like, normal. And it's been within the last, like, couple months that I've actually been not having nightmares. And I'm noticing that, like, when I have nightmares, it's actually because my nervous system is activated and I'm really stressed out, or something else is going on. I've been able to connect them. So, again, that peace and realizing that I'm not keeping things that cost me that peace. It's not worth it.
Good.
Because, like, sleep's the best.
Sleep is.
But, yeah, and just, like, this calmness and just, like, this ability to handle life that's come with being at peace.
Mm.
And it's just, it's nice.
And allowing life to be a little boring.
Yeah.
Without the drama. That's
fucking hard. Like, that is, we're going to work on that in 2022. Because I love to create it. This was a tough question for me, but what are you calling in for 2022?
Honestly, opportunities for expansion in my career.
Like, I'm, that's such, like, that's a career and purpose has always been a main focus for me every year. I'm like, I'm going to work on my career. And so whether that's, like, an aligned job, certain resources or tools to help me learn particular skills, network building, things like that, I want to really intentionally expand in that area because I just, I'm... that's like where that's where I thrive is like in the career space. Like I couldn't give less of a shit if I were in a relationship, but I need a good career. I need a good career where I'm passionate about the work that I'm doing. It needs to have purpose. It needs to have meaning. It needs to serve people in some way. So yeah, that's kind of the stuff that really lights me up. And that's what I'm calling in for 2022.
I like it.
What about
you?
I'm here
for it.
What are you calling in?
See, this was hard for me because, like I said, I'm in such a space that I've never been before. I've never really got to dream with the idea of it coming true, right? Like, or that, like, there's potential that, you know, like, trusting in the universe that, like, obviously I know hard things will come, but, like, that my hardest days are behind me. That work didn't go to waste. And so, yeah, like, being able to dream and whether that, like, you know, that goes into career and purpose and, like, actually taking real action because I'm not so focused on fixing me now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of, like, the healing, majority of your healing, you've put in the fucking work.
It's like you're emerging from the cocoon and now you're the butterfly. So what are you going to do? Where are you going
to
fly?
Stop looking for more things to heal just because that's what you're good at doing. You can't fail at that.
The cocoon is where you're most comfortable.
So like dreaming, honestly, I'm just like calling in life and like adventure and just like really getting to experience my life in a way that I haven't got to ever do before, and experiencing it without these really highs and lows, experiencing it at this like middle ground.
To actually go and live your life and allow those to be healing experiences in and of themselves.
And to know, to understand what like that like just like baseline feels like without these like highs and lows. And then for me, like I'm 30 and almost 31. But like I want to call in a conscious relationship. Like I want to call in a relationship that, you know, that is like doing the work and it's communication and it's growth. And yeah, and I think that I'm actually like ready for that. And that relationships are such a big teacher but it doesn't terrify me so much anymore. So I would love to call that in for 2022.
I love that.
Oh, and it takes a while for me to say that. So like, now it's out there for everyone to listen to.
Now it's just, it's out there.
This is one of my favorite things. Do you have any words you're gonna like your words for 2022?
So I've never done this practice of picking words, so this is actually really fun. But I picked 4 words.
Yes. Okay, so did I.
Yay! Oh my god, perfect. Okay, so my first word, slow.
Ooh.
Because I rush through fucking everything. Yeah. I'm such a fast paced person.
Yeah.
And that's been a common like intuitive ping for me lately. I've just been like slow down. Mm-hmm. So this year I want to take things more slow.
Yeah.
My second word is expression. Mm. Self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Expressing myself fearlessly, boldly, honestly, authentically, all those things. Third word, inspire. Mm. So to allow myself to be inspired by others, to take inspired action, and then to kind of allow myself to inspire others.
Yeah.
Kind of this reciprocal relationship with inspiration. And then my last word, boundaries.
Ooh.
Again, self-explanatory.
Risky. You're just like asking the universe to test you.
Yeah. So tune into a future episode about how this goes. We're going to have a whole episode of boundaries, but yeah, I feel like it's almost becoming a trigger word for me, but I'm like up for the challenge of like, yes, I want to lean into this process of boundary making.
Because they're so hard.
And just, There's so much magic to be made in boundaries.
I feel like I don't ever set boundaries as anything because I'm like, bitch, I am not calling that in. Those are going to find me naturally. I am not doing that.
So
props to you. What you just did. It's like when you ask the universe for strength, the only way it's going to give it to you is by testing you.
Yep.
is by bringing you to your knees. You don't ever ask for strength.
Or when you ask for patience, they give you all the things to test your fucking patience.
Yeah, so, like, good on ya.
Let's hear your words.
So this is the funny thing about my words is, like, I pick them, and then I kind of marinate on them for a month or so. So I feel like I don't ever officially know my words till about February.
Mm, okay.
But, so this year, one of them is obviously going to be dreaming. And just, like, really letting that run wild. Like, it doesn't... I think I want to make sure that, like, they don't have to be realistic dreams. I just, like, want to dream and experience that.
Like, tapping into the imagination.
Yeah, like, just see what it's like. Just, like, magic. Like, I just want to let life be magical this year. And whatever that looks like, that just feels... Like, I'm just really excited to, like, invite life in a different way than I have before.
Yeah.
And then consistency. I feel like I was really inconsistent in a lot of my practices that, like, I enjoy. Just, like, in my movement practice, just because gyms kept getting shut down and, like, my eating habits. And, like, I used to really like to do monthly challenges for myself and goals. So I'd really like to get just back into, like, consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, being consistent with habits that make me feel good.
Love that.
And then my last one is liberation. Like, I just want to be free. I just want to be liberated. I just want to be, like, so in my power and such a sovereign being and just, like, really own the, like, powerful female that I am. And I like, so just liberation.
Ooh,
I just, that's what I want.
Oh, okay, your year, based on the words that we picked, sounds a lot nicer than mine. I feel like based on my words,
sometimes you have a year that's gonna have to test you, right?
My year is gonna be a fucking hayride.
Yeah, but like, it's, I deserve a good year.
Your year sounds fun. Like, better magical, dreaming. Oh my god.
It better
I feel
be.
Like it's gonna be a good year for your inner child. Yeah. Based on those words.
It better be.
Anyways.
That's...
I love it.
Yes. I feel like we kind of over... We already kind of covered this, but, you know, we'll do it again briefly. Because I think it goes with what you're, like, calling in for 2022. Is that the question? But, yeah, like, what is your focus for 2022? I feel like they're kind of similar in... At least for me, they were.
Yeah. My focus kind of ties into, like, what I'm leaving behind in 2021 is to not be afraid. And to just... to intentionally let go of the fear... In terms of action taking, listening to my intuition, expanding my career, expressing myself, setting boundaries, all those things. And just, because all of those things have the potential to be blocked by fear.
Totally.
And so I really want to acknowledge and integrate that fear so that it doesn't run rampant in my subconscious mind and sabotage all my efforts to be my best human, you know? Yes. And so I just, my biggest focus is to just not be afraid.
I think it's a good one, right? Yeah. Like, because especially, like, with some of the things you're, you know, you're calling in, like, you're gonna have to face the storm, right? Like, you're gonna have to stand in it.
Yeah.
And so to know that, like, you're going to be afraid, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Not let it stop you.
Yeah.
Not let the fear...
Feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's... That's a big one.
Mm.
Good luck.
Thanks. I'm going to need it. So what's your biggest focus for 2022?
Again, like, I think for the first time ever, like, I think I'm just going to let the year unfold. But also take messy action, right? Like, actually take action to do things like the podcast and Women's Circle and, like, do things that fill my cup up.
So, it, like, surrendering?
Yes, but like, but that don't have to do with fixing me, right? Like, I'm really needing to give up this idea that, like, I constantly have to be, like, because I think there's a difference between doing the work and constantly needing to fix yourself, and I'm just really needing to let go of that idea of, like, of fixing every part of me before I get to live life.
Part of the healing journey is knowing when to step off the healing journey.
Yes. Yes, and I think that is kind of what 2022, my focus is going to be, and just taking action and trying new projects and trying new things and getting out there in a way that I haven't really been willing or ready to do in the past.
Mm.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I think 2022 will be good.
I agree. I totally agree.
Do you... Oh, you guys can hear my journal. Do you have any ways that you think you'll take better care of yourself in 2022?
More face masks and moisturization. Yes. My skin gets so dry and, like, yeah, I'm serious. I just want to, like, develop a better, like, shower routine and, like, just where I exfoliate. I dry brush before the shower. I moisturize. Like, all, like, the basic things that I love that makes me feel good that I've kind of stopped doing recently. So there's that better shower routine. Yeah. And then I also
pandemic.
And then I also want to develop better nighttime routines because I currently live with my parents and we've gotten into the habit of watching Netflix every single night.
Yeah.
And I love them, but it's so draining doing that every single night. And especially like most of the time when I watch Netflix with them, it's out of obligation because when I don't do it I feel guilty. And so now it's like releasing that and just developing a better like routine that I actually want to do, like spending time in my room and listening to music and doing things that actually help me to decompress from my day rather than just numb out and distract me from my thoughts. Like I actually want to take the time to like put some mood lighting on in my room, put on some music, take out my journal, play on my ukulele, like things that actually calm my nervous system
and bring you joy.
Yes, the things that light me up. So yeah, that's how I'm gonna take better care of myself this next year.
Yeah, I think for me it's just, again, like I said, consistency. Bringing movement back in my life, like getting back in the gym is huge for me in so, I can't even put into words, so many ways. So like making it happen and consistency, I think, is really how, like, I've been able to, I do a pretty good job at taking care of myself and having the tools to like calm my nervous system. So if there's any ways I could think I could do it better, it's definitely just like, and then realizing that like a lot of the habits I have that like I think are bad are actually quite, they're actually good habits. Like, sitting and reading is not a bad habit to have. But I'm like, oh, I waste so much time reading.
I think it's more so the intention behind the reading. Like, am I reading just so I could fill my brain with something? Or,
but, like, also, like, that's okay, too. Like, I think we get in our heads that, like, escapism is bad. But sometimes it's also needed. Like, right now, it's, you know, like I said, like, I'm so bored that... Yeah, I read. Well, I could be doing a lot worse things.
Yeah,
than reading. Like, I'm just like, because if I, my brain is idle, I create problems. So, yeah, I think A, giving my, the habits I do have more credit, and then just, yeah, getting back into a consistent movement pattern that, like, lights me up. Like, not just, like, moving because I have to, like, doing what I love. So that, like, because it just makes me the happiest human. Yeah. So...
It makes such a difference.
It does. Yeah. Oh my God. Movement is medicine, man. Yeah. You don't move, get on it. Like, yeah.
Even just like simple stretching. Like it makes such a difference.
Dance in your living room. Like, there's so much in movement that, again, we'll probably do a whole episode on this because I love movement so effing much. But yeah. Do you have any like final takeaways for yourself on the year? Just like a final kind of...
Just the fact that this... process of reflecting and taking inventory has been so insightful and beneficial for how I kind of integrate this past year. Just to like, my final takeaway is to like remind myself, take this time to reflect regularly, because it's like not saving it for the end of the year every year, like once a year practice. Like, do monthly check-ins, do weekly check-ins. I'm kind of in the habit of doing daily check-ins, but actually sitting down and truly reflecting in depth, there's so much medicine in it.
I wonder too if like you even like, this is just because I'm a, like a whore for new notebooks, it's like even like having a new notebook that like you do monthly reflections in, so at the end of the year you have one spot that has all of your monthly reflections in, so you can go month by month to actually see what happens.
Rather than trying to skim through your daily journal. Yes, because
I don't know where half my journals are. I go through 700 in a year, right? So just have one spot where you can actually just, like, monthly reflect.
It's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Good job. Stealing that one.
Yeah. I think for me, like you said, like, it's this reflection piece, but a piece that I need to change in my brain that'll be a focus is, it's more, you know, what am I going to do this year instead of what do I need to heal?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Healing will happen always when you're in the work. Like, when that's just what brings you joy, healing's always going to happen. I'm going to stop searching it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, what do I need to do in just like a life way?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that reflection piece will help that too. Like, did I spend so much time trying to, like, create chaos? Did I spend so... What did I do this month? You know, did it inch me towards what I said I wanted for 2022? Or mm-hmm. did I get lost in the abyss of my brain?
Yeah. Reflecting will be it'll supplement that process.
Totally.
Yeah.
And just as a reminder, because then when you reflect, because you're far removed, you can be like, oh, I see what I did there.
Yeah.
Right?
And hindsight has 20/20 vision. Yes.
Although, we need a new saying, because 2020 was the worst. Yeah. Oh my God. And now it's 2022.
2020-T-O-O.
Yes.
But anyways, if you're still with us,
thank you.
Yeah.
That was a long one.
Props to you. You are dedicated. But yeah, this is kind of basically, this is our second episode.
Yes.
And so this is kind of paving the way for our future episodes. They're all going to be very just casual discussions, conversation based. And but basically these two episodes are kind of covering the broad range of all of the topics that we're going to be diving in deeper, like surrendering, letting go, choosing ourselves, and how to not self-abandon, and what that looks like all of these things. We're going to dive deeper into future episodes.
And just, like, I think bringing them back to, like, being human.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about these things in a way that isn't, it doesn't feel so hard. It's like reminding you that, like, it's normal that they're hard, and here's our challenges with it, right? Because that's just something I resonate so much when people are raw and vulnerable and they say things and you're like, oh God, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Like, and especially too? And then, like, that is healing in and of itself too, right? And I think we want to bring that to you, that, like, we're figuring out life, and, like, here's how it's going.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially because when you're on this wellness, healing, spiritual enlightenment journey, it's so easy to get caught up in that misconception that things are easy. Things are all fucking divine and light.
Yes. And if it's not easy, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Shit's got to be hard. And that's where true meaning comes out of, is like those hard moments of real growth.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of why we created this podcast, to kind of
just bring you some humor along the way, hopefully.
Yes. So, yeah. Thank you guys for being here.
Like, subscribe, leave a review. Share. It's not five star. Don't bother. Get out of here. Gosh. We're only being nice in 2022. But
share with your friends, all the things.
Yeah.
We'll see you on
the next episode.
We'll see you guys next time.
Yes. We won't really see you, but bye.